Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome. It is already Wednesday, the 28th day of July 2010. Webster Griffin Tarpley, economist and historian, will be joining us coming up in 30 minutes to give us his take on the WikiLeaks situation. Also, the war drums intensifying their drumming for a war with Iran and Syria. We'll be discussing that and a lot more. Of course, so we'll talk to him about the economy and his view on that front as well coming up in 30 minutes. I'm going to cover a lot of really important news in the meantime. And then we're going to have wide open phones during the second hour. And the third hour, I'm going to open the phones up specifically for military and police. The phones loaded up yesterday, but we only had time to get to a few of them. Calling in, talking about how the police are being militarized, how they are taking battle-hardened recruits from Iraq and training them to take on the American people for gun confiscation and martial law. That is confirmed. There is a criminal overthrow of the United States taking place. And the system intends to use the military and the police to be the physical enforcers for anybody that doesn't go willingly into the night and allow the globalists to implode this country so that the establishment can consolidate control. That is all coming up today. Amazing news right now that is up on Infowars.com from Kurt Nemo this morning, and he also links to Bloomberg. Possible false flag attack. Japanese say oil tanker attacked near the Strait of Hormuz. That's the headline at Infowars.com. Bloomberg is reporting this morning that an oil tanker owned by the Japanese company OSK Lines, operator of one of the world's second largest oil tanker fleets, may have been attacked near the Strait of Hormuz, a strategically important waterway between the Gulf of Oman and the Persian Gulf bordering Iran. There was an explosion aboard the M-Star 5:30 a.m. Tokyo time that slightly injured one crew member, the shipping line said in a statement. The ship was on its way to the United Arab Emirates to assess the damage. No oil is reported leaking from the vessel, thank God. The explosion on the starboard side. They could have an explosion on board the ship. That wouldn't be very suspicious, but this is on the side of the ship. The explosion on the starboard side of the ship damaged hatches and a lifeboat. Corey Baker, a spokesman for the U.S. Fifth Fleet, speaking on phone from the fleet's base in Bahrain, told Bloomberg, the cause and extent of the damage is unknown and will be investigated, he said. If it turns out to be an attack, it will have implications for ships going in and out of the Strait of Hormuz and will lead to delays and rising tanker rates, said Ben Goggin, a freight derivatives broker at the SSY Futures LTD, a unit of the world's second largest ship broker. There was a series of naval standoffs between the U.S. and Iran in the Strait of Hormuz in December of 07-08. In January of 08, the Pentagon accused Iran of threatening the U.S. Fifth Fleet, but this was later contradicted by the Navy. According to Press TV, a naval officer had literally given the order to fire on Iranian ships. And remember what the New Yorker magazine and, of course, Seymour Hersh reported, and it was later confirmed that White House officials told Cy Hersh that Cheney was having U.S. attack boats, gunboats painted up like blue Iranian gunboats, and we're going to have Navy SEALs attack U.S. or other ships to be blamed. And it turns out right at that same time, there were these fake transmissions that turned out they were not from Iran. And then later, the evidence pointed towards private contractors saying, we're going to fire missiles at you in 1 minute. And then the media said, oh, Iranian boats were going to attack. This is how they want to start World War III with Iran. This is a Strait of Hormuz event. We'll cover this top story and a lot more on the economy, the depression, the police state. We're going to be covering it all today. I'm Alex Jones. The websites are Infowars.com and PrismPlanet.com. Stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
It's Wednesday. Webster Griffin Tarpley coming up in about 20 minutes. Let me get back into today's top story. What has Ray McGovern, former top CIA analyst to Reagan and Bush Sr., said on this radio broadcast in the last 2 years? That he believes the number one way they're going to try to start a war with Iran is by staging a Strait of Hormuz event. In fact, he's been saying that for the last 2 years, at the end of Bush and the beginning of Obama. He actually started saying it here on this broadcast 4 years ago, and then about a year after he said that that was the intel he was getting, it came out in the mainstream news, New Yorker magazine, MSNBC, that Cy Hirsch, the Pulitzer Prize-winning writer, investigative journalist, had sources inside the White House that told him that Cheney wanted to paint up fake Iranian patrol boats and have the Navy SEALs attack our ships. And then it turned out that right at that very time, months after Ray McGovern said this on this show and also wrote about it, that they did try to launch a fake attack on our ships by having patrol boats come out and then fake radio broadcasts saying, we're going to launch missiles on you in 60 seconds. And remember, that was all over the news, and they showed telephoto video footage of the patrol boat several miles away claiming that they'd transmitted that they were going to do this. They want to go to war with Iran. Ahmadinejad, of course, yesterday said that he has intel that the United States and Israel are planning to strike Iran in the next 3 months. We've got the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu saying they're getting ready to greenlight an attack. Of course, 2.5 months ago, that was the intel from Bilderberg Group that they are planning and have now greenlighted an attack on Iran. They need this to politically get people to rally around the flag when we're attacking another nation and forget about the depression, forget about Obama's plunging approval ratings. This is one of the false flags that they are definitely developing. And now Bloomberg reports this morning, Kurt Nemo's got an excellent report giving you the backstory and the history of it. Dealing with all of this. And so this is extremely, extremely important information. Possible false flag. Japanese say oil tanker attacked near Strait of Hormuz. Now let's go back, though. This happened this morning. There was a series of naval standoffs between the U.S. and Iran in the Strait of Hormuz in December of 07 and January of 08. The Pentagon accused Iran of threatening the U.S. Fifth Fleet, but this was later contradicted by the Navy, Admiral Fox Fallon, the head of CENTCOM, who then resigned, refusing to attack Iran. According to Press TV, a naval officer had literally given the order to fire on the Iranian ships. Vice Admiral Kevin J. Cosgriff, commander of the Fifth Fleet, said the U.S. ships received a radio call that was threatening in nature to the effect that they were closing on our ships and going to attack and that U.S. ships would, quote, explode. Iran characterized the radio communications as a standard transmission between ships and went on to say that they did not put out that transmission. Later, our media claimed it was some type of radio prankster doing it. Called the CIA. It goes on July 8th, 2008, a mid-level clerical aide to Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah al-Khamenei, said the U.S. shipping in the Persian Gulf will be Iran's first targets. And they will be burned if there is an attack on Iran. It goes on. In July of 08, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Seymour Hersh told an audience at the Campus Progress Journalism Conference that the Bush administration officials held a meeting with Dick Cheney's office to discuss ways to provoke war with Iran. There was a dozen ideas proffered about how to trigger a war. There was one that interested me most, and this is a quote, was why don't we build in our own shipyard, build 4 or 5 boats that look like Iranian PT boats, put Navy SEALs on them with a lot of arms, and next time one of the boats goes in the Strait of Hormuz, start a shoot-up, said Hersh, quoting Cheney. And now Japan is announcing that their biggest oil tanker line, the second biggest in the world, but the biggest for Japan, has been attacked, and they believe it was some type of terror attack, an explosion up against the side of the boat, blowing out a bulkhead and damaging some life rafts. So this is very, very serious information, and this boil-down story by Kurt Nemo is vital to get out to everyone ahead of the media now starting to latch on to this and promote the fact that Iran has attacked a ship in the Strait of Hormuz. Very, very serious developments on that front. Continuing, Israeli Defense Chief offers warnings on Iran and Lebanon. So this echoes what Ahmadinejad saying about two Middle Eastern countries to be attacked. From my intel, I believe it's going to be Iran and Syria, perhaps Lebanon as well, maybe even Gaza. This is out of the Washington Post. Israeli Defense Chief offers warning on Iran and Lebanon. Israeli Defense Chief Ehud Barak is due to arrive in Washington bearing two warnings for American policymakers. Sanctions won't thwart Iran's push for nuclear weapons, and Israel will strike directly at Lebanese government institutions if Hezbollah launches rockets at Israel towns. In a wide-ranging interview, Barak, who has become one of Israel's most frequent official guests in Washington, outlined his vision for arresting Iran's nuclear drive, coping with Hezbollah threat, and forging a deal with the Palestinians. And he goes on to warn those countries that they may strike them sooner rather than later. Meanwhile, continuing to look at the Middle East, Russians say war with Iran is completely unacceptable. Dmitry Babich, Russia's profile magazine, has given an interview saying a war in Iran is absolutely unacceptable for Russia, and Russia will do everything to prevent that possibility. On the other hand, Russia is also afraid of Iran getting close to acquiring nuclear weapons. So a hedged bet there via statements by Russian government officials. Iran has gone on in their official press TV organ, press blowhorn, to say Iran's independent of world powers. Iran's president Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said the Islamic Republic has gained independence, withdrawing itself from the circle of influence of economic powers. And he went on to say they're preparing to be attacked by the United States and or Israel. Both, Press TV is also reporting something that I know to be true, because Bush 4 years ago had the White House put out a press release reporting what Cy Hirsch and others had said several years before that, that thousands off and on of U.S. special forces, Arabic speaking, are all over Iran staging terror attacks against military and police installations, dams, schools, trying to elicit a response by Iran inside Iraq, coming across the border there, just punching him in the nose, slapping him in the face, rubbing it in, trying to get them to respond so World War III can be launched. And here's the Press TV headline. U.S. funds sedition leaders to topple Iran. A top Islamic cleric says the U.S. has given the leaders of sedition $1 billion in order to topple the Islamic establishment during last year's post-election unrest. Well, yeah, that's been done twice in the last 8 years. I have acquired documents showing the Americans paid $1 billion to leaders of sedition through Saudi individuals, the archenemy of Iran. They're Sunni, Iran Shiite. That's why it's so asinine to say Iran is funding al-Qaeda when al-Qaeda is CIA and out of Saudi Arabia. It's the opposite. It's Sunni, not Shiite. Iran is Shiite. Shiite and Sunnis hate each other more than they hate the West. I mean, do you understand that? I have acquired documents showing that Americans paid $1 billion to leaders of sedition through Saudi Arabian individuals who are currently the U.S. agents in regional countries. The ILNA quoted head of the Guardian Council, Ayatollah Ahmed Janadi, as saying yesterday, these Saudis who spoke on behalf of the U.S. told the opposition figures that if you can overthrow the Islamic establishment, we would pay another $50 billion, he added. The opposition leaders staged riots with the help of the U.S., and they were confident that the Islamic Revolution would fail with the assistance of the U.S. because it is soft war, which causes people to break away from the Islamic system, he explained. The Iranian cleric further pointed out the system, which does not enjoy the support of the nation, will collapse automatically. Ayatollah Janadi said Saudi Arabia is obeying the U.S. in a servile manner, and added that Iran is the only country which stood by itself and chanted death to America with strength. You know, these Ayatollahs on record were put into power against the Shah. There was a arms for hostages deal. It was a way to double cross Jimmy Carter. And that's all been declassified. It was all staged. So I don't trust these guys any more than I trust the globalists that run our country. And they play into this paradigm of death to America. Death to America? America's been seized by the very banks that ran your country until 53. And then re-overthrew it for that brief time after 53. And so death to America? It's the globalists that are killing the United States. Nevertheless, either way you slice it, dice it, any angle you look at this, you can see World War III being prepared. You can see global crises, financial, economic, military, cultural, all being triggered. The dominoes are now in motion. And all of us have to realize that world government is being formed, a new planetary bank that you pay your carbon taxes to, that controls your domestic government. Every major nation from Greece to the United States that's fallen to these bankers is passing or has passed legislation to give the banking cartel that created the trillions in derivatives total power over the economy. And they need to start a war as a political smokescreen to complete their takeover. The good news is people are starting to wake up to this, but not fast enough. And so these are the times that try men and women's souls. The quickening is here. The acceleration is upon us. You're going to see staged terror attacks to be blamed on domestic groups. You're going to see staged terror attacks to be blamed on foreign governments. That's now inevitable. If we cause a giant awakening, the globalists may back off. But at this time, they have engaged. The clock is ticking. The time bomb is ticking. And just strap yourselves in, ladies and gentlemen, because you're about to see massive changes. In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We looked down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum.
Here's some of the other important news we have here in front of us. Look at how just a year ago Al Gore would go to public events promoting global carbon taxes and taxes on basically all human activity in the United States. China, India, and others are exempt. That would simply move what industry we have left over there. Notice how he was still a god. He was believed. He would get before Congress and say, no one questions global warming. All scientists agree it's man-made. We're all dead if you don't pay me tax money. And now he does hardly any public events. Everywhere he goes, people infiltrate and shout him down. And because that aura of invincibility has been shattered, a 3.5-year-old police investigation dealing with sexual assault has been reopened, and the woman claims she's got the equivalent of the blue dress. Al got a little excited. And KOMO-TV reports, Al Gore interviewed by Portland detectives. Detectives interviewed former U.S. Vice President Al Gore this past week in San Francisco. A law enforcement source has confirmed to KATU News. Portland police detectives interviewed Gore on Thursday, questioning him further about allegations that he sexually abused a licensed massage therapist. Investigators had filed a special report in January of 2007. Recording the message therapist claims that Gore grabbed and groped her and chased her around, by the way, with an erection when she gave him a massage at Portland Hotel in October of 2006. The woman went public in June 23rd National Enquirer story, just like they did with John Edwards, and held up soiled pants for a June 30th Enquirer cover. She says it has his DNA on it. The Portland Police Bureau, remember Bill Clinton? I did not have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. How dare you? How dare you say that? I would never lie. And she's like, here's the blue sequin dress. It's got his sperm all over it. On July 1st, the Portland Police Bureau reopened its sexual assault investigation into the former vice president. Officials said that the extra review was needed as detectives looked into the matter. This past year failed to notify high-ranking officials of the decision to drop the case. The Inquirer has published the stories of two other massage therapists. Those therapists who worked in hotels in Tokyo and Los Angeles have also claimed Gore made unwanted sexual advances. He's a thug. He wants to rape America and steal from you. He's bought two luxury homes on coastlines right on the water, but he says the water's going to raise in the next 6 years and kill everybody on the coast. This guy's a complete scam artist. He's a big swollen liar. Remember Bill Clinton and all of his rapes? Remember Bill Clinton and the reports of him biting women's faces while he rapes them? Remember the man who saw Clinton going into Flowers' apartment and he videotaped it, so state police came and broke both his legs and arms and tortured him until he gave them all the videos? These are rapists. These are thugs. These are scum. These are people that enjoy dominating you. Why did the Soviets and the Nazis and others kill masses of people and dominate and have terror? Because they like it. They like total power. This is what happens when psychopaths and criminals and control freaks get into control. This is a government that's told you that torture and secret arrest is good. This is a global government from England to Canada to the United States that hires private thugs in plain clothes to grab citizens, protesters off the streets with bags over their heads, throwing them into unmarked black vans. To sell you on the image that it's normal to have plain clothes, private mercenaries put bags over your heads. They're psychopaths. Study their criminology. Of course Al Gore's guilty. She's got the dress. She told the cops she had the semen. They didn't want to see it. They didn't want to look at it because they're scared. And now they've got other women coming forward. And I believe them. This woman, you know, didn't go public for the first year because she was scared for her life. She thought if she ran out and said, this guy's chasing me around. He ran up, according to her, and grabbed her with his robe open with no underwear, hunching on her, grabbing her, trying to have sex with her. This is a disgusting pervert. Of course he wants to force women to have sex. It's about the power. Normal people don't understand this. Normal people want a woman to want you. Okay, you know, there's no desire for a normal person if the other person isn't interested. But these scumbags, they like to force it on people. They like to torture women. They like to rape women. What do you think's come out of Bohemian Grove? This is what they like. They enjoy dominating. It's about the power. That's why the UN's been caught running giant child kidnapping rings.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Monday through Friday, we kick this transmission off at 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern. Thank you for joining us. That's 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Mountain. Webster Griffin Tarpley, Doctor of History, and of course he's also an economist, is joining us here in just a moment to cover a host of issues. WikiLeaks, and I haven't really asked his opinion, but he's joined us during the break, and I said, what's your view? And he said, I agree with your analysis on Russia Today yesterday. So it's interesting to hear that he concurs with me with my suspicions of WikiLeaks. We're going to talk about this possible false flag, Japanese, say, oil tanker attack near the Strait of Hormuz, some type of explosion up against the side of the ship, looking like it wasn't something internal. The Pentagon is looking at it as a terror attack. Remember, Cheney is on record wanting to attack our own ships in the Strait of Hormuz, according to New Yorker Magazine and MSNBC from Cy Hirsch. And how does that tie into the war drums with Ahmed Inajid saying he's got intel that the strike on Iran and one other Middle Eastern country, possibly Lebanon or Syria, will happen in the next 3 months? We'll talk about the economy, the deepening depression. Also, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts sent us an editorial yesterday to post up at Infowars.com. We appreciate him giving us his columns. And it just went up this morning. The year America dissolved. And he's predicting a road warrior type collapse if this Malthusian deindustrialization program continues. I'll cover that after Tarpley leaves us in about 57 minutes from now. And we're going to have open phones later in the next hour. And then in the third hour, phone calls just for military and police about top secret USA. Because it's not just 854,000 private corporate people with the highest security clearance spying on everyone. It's the 3 million police and others being converted over to literal domestic Stasi forces. So that's coming up. Before I go any further, you know the Obama deception has been censored and attacked all over the web and demonized. There have been multiple dirty tricks to bring it down. False copyright claims that we were able to correct 3 months ago. Then the deletion by YouTube and Google 2 weeks ago. It's back up because of protest. Don't let them stop you. Get it and get it out to everyone. Get the hard copy, highest quality DVD with the expanded extras at Infowars.com. Get four copies for $19.95 because people are a lot more apt to watch it when it's a beautiful color cover, has the full description on the back. Has everything. The Obama deception. I'm ending this special where you get four copies for basically $5 a piece or a little bit less. You can get 10 copies for $39.95 or $3.98 a piece. 10 copies and give them to everyone you know. In fact, go ahead and do your Christmas shopping early. You know, buy 10 of these and give it to everybody you know, because this covers the banking takeover, the globalist New World Order Malthusian plan, how Obama's a criminal, continuing the torture, how he's going to launch new wars. This is made a year and a half ago, and it's evergreen. It's more pertinent today than it was then. You can also call toll-free and get the Obama deception or Invisible Empire or Police State 4, the Rise of FEMA by calling toll-free 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. You can also write to me at P.O. Box 19549. That's P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas, 78760. That's P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas, 78760. And I want to thank everybody that buys the books, the T-shirts, the ball caps, the videos. Not only are they great tools to inform yourself to a higher level and wake others up, your purchase also funds the radio show, the news websites, everything we're doing. And where can you say anybody's having a bigger effect than this show? It's quite a responsibility, and we're honored to be here and to be a platform for all these informative guests that we bring on the show, like Dr. Tarpley. Dr. Tarpley, good to have you here with us, sir.
Thank you, Alex.
So much is happening. We've only got less than an hour with you. You've been deluged by the storm and falling trees. And any time now, arborists may come to the door to cut down the fallen trees. So we're going to move quickly. You've got the floor. WikiLeaks tied into Iran, tied into the unfolding depression, and calls to censor the Internet. Webster Tarpley.
Well, I would start by saying that WikiLeaks and the person of this strange Julian Assange fulfills the prima facie case for a limited hangout operation by the intelligence agencies themselves in a broad sense. When you include things like Project Democracy on the U.S. side, when you look at the Soros group of foundations and so forth, and look at them as a part of the intelligence community, that seems to be what we have. And the goal, of course, all of the U.S. coverage in particular, focuses the attack on Pakistan. That the big news here is not war crimes by Bush or Cheney or Obama or Gates or any of these people, but it's rather the perfidy and the treachery of Pakistan. So we're essentially got a case where they're saying the Afghanistan war is not going well. Let's dump that. Let's dump that country into chaos. Let's focus on Iran and Pakistan above all.
This comes out 1 week, to interrupt, 1 week after they admit, okay, advisors are in Pakistan, U.S. troops are there, Blackwater is there, something they've been denying for 2 years as the CIA drone attacks intensify. Remember, a year and a half ago in Mumbai, they blamed General Hamid Ghul. He called me and said, I'd like to come on and set the record straight. He says he doesn't want to come on at this time. He didn't give us the reasons. But the point is, he said Western intelligence ran this attack. And then it came out 2 months ago in the Chicago Tribune that the head of the Mumbai attack is a CIA agent from the United States, and the head of Indian's intelligence said the same thing. So they're always trying to blame Pakistan.
Right. Pakistan is the target. Let's focus for a minute on WikiLeaks and this Assange. Remember Cass Sunstein, the totalitarian liberal regulations are in the Obama White House. And he came out with this article some months back where he said what we need to do is to have the cognitive disruption of the 9/11 truth movement. In other words, we've got to put out our own disinformation and try to disrupt and interfere with the process.
Yeah, he said that. He said, we'll pose as patriots online to get credibility to attack other patriots. And so that's why you see the COINTELPRO against me, you know, claiming I'm bad, because they know they have no credibility from the government view. They've got to pose as activists while simultaneously pushing to censor the internet.
Right. And of course, it's not limited to people coming on with a patriotic or right of center profile at all. It includes ultra-left.
Full
spectrum.
That
indeed is Soros's specialty. So I think what we have here is a rather sophisticated thing. They don't come on saying, we're neocons and we don't like 9/11 truth. They come on saying, we're the extremely radical, hunted group of rebels and anti-authoritarians, and we're telling you that Pakistan is the devil, which is just exactly what the mainstream media is.
And Assange comes out and attacks 9/11 truth.
Yes, exactly. And that's this thing in Belfast where he says he's annoyed by 9/11 truth. Let's just look at this. The big lies, of course, of the past 10 years, the lie of the 21st century is, of course, terrorism itself, Al-Qaeda bin Laden. The papers that Assange has released include all kinds of references to Osama bin Laden, how he's in Quetta. He's taking part in the Quetta Shura, this council of alleged terrorist chiefs, which the mainline, you know, ABC News and NBC News.
We've got to go into Pakistan and get him.
Precisely. So this and then the attack on 9/11 truth, I think, is the most significant. What he's really saying is the conspiracies that are approved are my conspiracies, says Assange, right? If you've got a conspiracy approved by Assange, that's fine. But some other conspiracy is not in the mainstream of conspiracies. So let's just look at the background. Who is this guy? One of the most obvious things is, who pays him? Who pays for this lifestyle that he has? He is a nomad, as we're told, right? He's somebody who jets around the world. He's kind of a jet-set nomad, living out of a backpack, showing up in different parts.
He's got a spy profile.
Well, yes, but of a special kind. I would call him a picaresque agent. I'm referring back to the picaresque novel, like, you know, Tom Jones by Fielding, where people are always moving around, right? They're always traveling through a landscape, and they never stop. And that seems to be Assange. Now, what's his background? His parents in Australia ran a traveling theater company. So that he seems to have attended about 37 different schools during the time that he was a child. So he's been born into this lifestyle of moving around. But the really sinister thing is that Assange's mother and half-brother, along with Assange, were on the run, according to Wikipedia. They were fleeing from the father of the half-brother, in other words, the second husband of the mother, who was trying to get them and take them back to a cult, which was the Anne Hamilton Byrne cult, which is essentially a group of people near Melbourne, Australia, who were using LSD as a treatment for children. And what they called therapy was to give a child LSD or psychopharmaca and then lock the child in a dark room.
So this is the classic cover for an intelligence agency mind control program.
Yes. But the thing that it turns out, in other words, the end product of such a cult are a group of severely impaired specimens. I think one of them might well be Assange. I don't know.
So you're saying he may be a mega patsy?
He may be somebody who's got severe problems that make him suggestible and make him manipulable by people. What he seems to have gotten out of this is a tremendous anti-authoritarian hatred for governments, for corporations, really for any institution. His attack seems to be against any and all institutions. Notice, he is not anti-war. He does not say that the U.S. should get out of Afghanistan and stop interfering in Pakistan. He just says, whatever you want to do, be transparent, right? Make it clear what you're doing, be humane, and try to reform it. And really, that's all he has to say. There's no theoretical basis for this. He doesn't talk about imperialism. He doesn't talk about Anglo-American banking. He doesn't talk about a new world order. He doesn't talk about any concept that might allow somebody to make sense of this, you know, from whatever point of view. In other words, he just doesn't go there. There's no element of that. So I think this is a very, very suspicious and strange individual. Now, if we look at the institution, what is WikiLeaks? They have a board, and you can look on the internet, right? Wayne Madsen and other people have done useful work on this. If you look at the board seems to be packed with people from this sort of Soros left wing of the Anglo-American intelligence
and
world.
And Cass Sunstein has praised it.
Yes, well, that's very interesting. I think this is more or less his project. This is how they would do it. It wouldn't come on the scene, you know, in the official CIA. It can't. So we have this guy Ben Lawrie, who's a former security boss of Google, and of course, as many have pointed out, Google was essentially a project of this. It's a proprietary investment company run by the CIA and
in Kutel, and that's now on record. That they've got their campuses now, their research campuses at NASA. I mean, this is the public face of the NSA with the public rollout and adoption of full NSA control.
Right, and we know now that we had it on the front page of the Washington Post here that Google and the National Security Agency are in a partnership. They are in a lockstep. They've practically merged. So the one of the people on the board comes from that. And otherwise, you have a large group of these U.S.-backed dissidents coming from China. You have Wang Dan, who has gotten the Project Democracy Award, right, from the U.S. government. You've got this guy, Xiao Chan.
So they're trying to get their credibility right now to start pumping out info, what, against corporations they want to bring down, against other governments. I mean, if this is an operation, and as you said, Assange may be a great guy and is being manipulated. I mean, they've released the Army manual about how to stage false flag terror. That's great work. They released the helicopter gun footage that I think is important work. But that's how an intelligence op would work. They would give you good info up front to get your confidence. I mean, I don't think we can say 100% that these are bad guys, but no. Certainly the way that the New York Times, The Guardian, and Der Spiegel have spun the material all against Pakistan and how they're propping up the myth, and this isn't really top secret, it's just secret material, battlefield communiques, which are famous for being used, fake body counts, you name it, to put out Pentagon propaganda.
We can also see that the intimate cooperation with the New York Times, with the Guardian of London, and with Der Spiegel of Germany, right? These are three arch-establishmentarian, very vaguely center-left.
Well, that's admitted. I mean, it turns out the New York Times, quote, crawled to Obama for instructions on WikiLeaks weeks before. So Assange kept saying, it's coming out. It turns out that's why all the newspapers were going to the government saying, what do we do with this? The government said, do it.
Right, but
I mean, that's 100% proof right there that, I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Alex, you and I know that if you're coming out with some revelation that the government doesn't want, say something about 9/11 truth, you don't get the New York Times, The Guardian, and Der Spiegel cooperating with you. Der Spiegel, in particular, had a whole cover story on conspiracy fanatics who turn the world upside down, 9/11 truth, or lunatics, anti-Semites, and all the rest of this crazy stuff. Couple of other things about it. Assange claims to be a PhD. According to Madsen, this is from a diploma mill. There was at the beginning of his career, he purported to come from Kenya. He apparently does not come from Kenya. He comes from Australia. There is this strange book that he contributed to, Underground Tales of Hacking and Mad Men, in which Assange appears as the character Mendax, which is simply the Latin word for a liar. So it's a very, very uncertain individual, a very, very uncertain group. They seem to work with...
He picks the name Darth Liar. I mean, this is... that tells you something.
Something like that. And it's a pattern, of course, right? Remember, ultra-left financiers of the Soros type love to sponsor ultra-left, the sort of subversive groups. You go to France, you'll see the main left-wing newspaper, Libération, the main Parisian left-wing paper is controlled by, it's owned by Baron Rothschild, and there have been all sorts of scandals about that.
Well, look, so, I have George Soros every day with Media Matters that he's the main contributor to and others attacking me and basically saying I'm Satan. So this guy, I mean, we know that, he's active everywhere.
Right, and then let's then look at, as you say quite properly, right? You've got to put in good information in order to get some credibility. A couple of stories about this. I was in Iceland last September, October, and I had a chance to give a lecture series in Reykjavik five nights in a row. I was on the main television the news program on the Sunday, right, the Blab Show. And what I was recommending and really calling on them to do is declare a debt moratorium. Freeze your debt. Stop paying your debt. Cancel your debt. Don't negotiate under the gun of the British and the Dutch and the IMF and the European Commission, but start by having a debt moratorium in the way that Mexico and Argentina and Brazil and about 35 other countries, down to Costa Rica, very small countries with no military, just like Iceland, have done it. And about a couple of months after I had departed, into town blows Julian Assange, who goes, strangely enough, to some of the very same people and apparently tells them, forget about this debt moratorium stuff. What we need to do here is to have this internet-free zone. In other words, a world haven for hackers, for pornographers, for other people on the internet. And let's set that up, and we'll make Reykjavik into the world mecca for all kinds of...
All right, stay there, stay there, stay there. Oh, that's Patriot Jimmy Vaughn bringing us in. Got to get him in studio sometime to play the guitar for us. Okay, let's go back to Webster Tarpley with us for another 35 minutes. I got a bunch of other issues I want to get into him with. Let's, in this five-minute segment, finish up with the WikiLeaks. Webster, I'm going to sit back, finish up your points.
On Iceland, and the net effect of the arrival of Assange in Reykjavik, Iceland, was to convince a whole bunch of people who had started this debt moratorium agitation, which it seems to me is the only answer for the survival of the country, and go with this gimmick, really, which was to say, let's essentially act along the Soros program. Let's set up a haven for internet hackers, for various websites from around the world. We'll guarantee no censorship or anything like this. So therefore, you see how the guy operates. Here's another one. The Norm Coleman question, right? Norm Coleman was, of course, this senator from Minnesota, in many ways a nasty fellow. I certainly didn't like him. But there was a fight between Norm Coleman and Soros over who was going to become the president of the World Bank. And Soros had his own candidate, a guy called Ford Malik Brown, Baron Brown. Coleman was opposing him. So this seems to have contributed to the huge amount of money that was put into that Al Franken campaign. But in the middle of that, there was also an intervention by WikiLeaks against Norm Coleman. Right? They published his whole contributors list with the many, many details of the individual lives of these people. So
that's extremely suspicious.
About the World Bank. So that's the idea. You gain credibility with a lot of good information, and then you can put in the fake information that targets the people that you want to target for completely different reasons. But, of course, the big thing is Pakistan, right? If you look at the London Guardian, right, which is the left wing of the British intelligence agencies, you can see that their coverage focuses on two things, that the 90,000-odd documents, very low-level, secret-level, essentially routine inter-office correspondence in the government labeled secret. These say Pakistan is treacherous. Pakistan betrays the U.S. Pakistan is a bad ally. They stab us in the back. And that then is giving rise now to this huge anti-Pakistani campaign, the attacks on General Gould and others, the demonization of the ISI, and so forth. But then also Iran. The Guardian focused on Iran, that Iran is fomenting a whole array of insurgencies in their part of Afghanistan along their border, and they're going to keep doing that. So you're left with the idea, it's going to be a good idea to de-emphasize and downplay the Afghan war and look now at your real enemies in the area, who are these two big states, Iran and Pakistan. And it seems to me one of the obvious things is to play one against the other, and that's a pattern that you see. The U.S. strategy in the entire Middle East is to try to line up a group of states that would be Arab and Sunni, plus a couple of others, against Iran, which is Iranian, Persian, and also Shiite. And the big call for the attack on Iran that you can read about in my essay that I put on the Internet, and you have it also on InfoWars, is that you've got the Gulf states, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, they've been jazzed up by the U.S., obviously, to demand the attack on Iran because this threatens them. So they're raising this hue and cry. The example, of course, is the ambassador from the United Arab Emirates in Aspen, Colorado, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, who went into a public tirade. We demand an attack on Iran immediately. What is this? We're willing to take the cost. You Americans get busy. This was at the Aspen Ideas Festival. So all of this going on, and the WikiLeaks feeds right into this agitation just at the proper moment.
It's all very suspicious. Stay there, Webster.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Webster Griffin Tarpley is our guest. We're going to open the phones up when he leaves us in 30 minutes. The toll-free number to join us, 800-259-9231. I want to get into the open discussion now and the open green-lighting of an attack on Iran. Does Webster Tarpley agree with Ahmadinejad that the attacks in the next 3 months? That's coming up. Also, I want to ask Tarpley about top Clinton official and advisor to Obama, Robert Shapiro, saying, hey, we need a staged terror attack. I'm going to read that quote coming up. We're going to talk about the economy. We're going to get into other dirty tricks he sees the Obamanoids pulling as there's a major political realignment taking place. But Webster Griffin Tarpley is our guest. I was actually going to ask Tarpley about this, and I was talking to him during the break. He brought it up himself. The similarities between WikiLeaks and Daniel Ellsberg. And I know Fletcher Prouty said he wrote many of those documents that when he was the head of Black Ops at the Pentagon, that the RAND Corporation then later put out through Daniel Ellsberg. And Fletcher Prouty said that they'd been altered and were fake and that it was a disinfo honeypot. And then Tarpley was just now agreeing with that during the break and saying there's similarities with this and WikiLeaks. Webster, let's finish up with WikiLeaks and get into Iran. Go ahead.
The big thing we hear from Assange is he says that he is the modern equivalent of Daniel Ellsberg and the Pentagon Papers of June 1971. This was an internal history of the Vietnam War, prepared really during the Johnson years, but then leaked in a spectacular way with the help of the same New York Times and the Washington Post and the Boston Globe in June and July of 1971, which drove Nixon crazy. This was done by Daniel Ellsberg, who for many leftists in particular, still a hero. I've never been able to understand this. Daniel Ellsberg was a nuclear weapons planner from the RAND Corporation. He had been part of planning the Vietnam War. He was a member of Henry Kissinger's staff in the White House, and then he had a Damascus Road conversion. He became anti-war, conscience-stricken, and released all of this stuff. And as you say, there was nothing new in these papers. If you had been reading Le Monde of France or any of the big Italian papers, you knew all this. I mean, I knew most of it myself just by having read these things. There was nothing really that new in it. But what it did do was constitute a leak which drove Nixon crazy. Nixon was, of course, a paranoid personality. And Nixon had been extremely freaked out that same year, 1971. There had been a huge crisis between India and Pakistan. This is what led to the creation of Bangladesh that year with wars, genocide.
The Russians, it's now been declassified, came to the U.S. with a joint strike on China, and Nixon had said no as well.
No, because Nixon was allying with China at that time. That was the whole point.
Why did the elite sabotage Nixon, because that's clear and admitted now that Haig and Kissinger and others did that. Why did the establishment turn on Nixon?
I think there were two things. One is that they sincerely wanted at that point to liquidate the Vietnam War and focus on other things that were coming up. But there's also the question of weakening the presidency. With Nixon, it sounds bombastic and theatrical in retrospect, but there were these aspects of an imperial presidency, right? Nixon wanted to be an authoritarian. He wanted to have a strong presidency, and this was exactly what the oligarchy didn't want. Think of it. The Washington Post is really the house organ of the Federal Reserve System. The Washington Post was founded by Eugene Meyer, who was a refugee from the Federal Reserve. He hated Roosevelt. He disagreed with Roosevelt's economic policies, and he set the Washington Post up as the paper that he bought in the Capitol here to be an anti-Roosevelt and then later anti-presidential, anti-government in that sense, organ. So the Washington Post always stands for a weak presidency and ultimately for a strong Federal Reserve. So I think the idea was permanently weaken the president with the Watergate coup. And they succeeded, because they look at the people after that. Ford, Carter, really very, very weak presidents.
All right, stay there. Let's get into Iran and the war clouds, storm clouds forming on that front, the economy, and false flag terror. Straight ahead with Webster, Griffin Tarpley. I'm Alex Jones.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
You have found it, the front lines of the info war, the tip of the spear. We're here 6 days a week, Sundays 4 to 6 p.m. Central, and of course kicking off weekdays at 11 a.m. Central. Here's the headline from 2 weeks ago, and I keep making a big deal out of this because it's so important. Top Clinton official, only a terror attack can save Obama, they told the Bilderberg Group House organ, the Financial Times of London, even more elitist than the Washington Post. He said, the bottom line here is that Americans don't believe in President Obama's leadership, said Shapiro, adding, quote, he has to find some way between now and November of demonstrating that he is a leader who can command confidence, and short of a new 9/11 event or an Oklahoma City bombing, I can't think of how he can do that. Now, I want to get into Iran, but I want to put it in the context of where you see the Anglo-American establishment. Every time I say that, I get emails saying, don't bash white people. It has nothing to do with white people. It means the U.S., British, Dutch power arm. That's what they call it themselves, the heart of the global banking cartel, at a key point of announcing world government, global carbon taxes, Malthusian initiatives. The world is now awakening to them. I would, from my basic forecast, say that they're in deep trouble. They admit they're in deep trouble. They're panicking. They're saying they want to shut down freedom on the web because we are devastating them. So, Webster, in context, Iran, as a false flag event itself, using a Strait of Hormuz event to launch that, how does that tie into other false flags? Looking into your historical crystal ball, what is the state of the geopolitical jockeying right now?
Well, let me start with the desperation of the Anglo-American ruling class. In other words, the bankers of the City of London and the bankers of Wall Street, along with some of these other places that you've mentioned, they are desperate because we have a world economic depression, right? We have this mass of $1.5 quadrillion of toxic kited derivatives, which are insolvent, can't be paid. And these are the forces of depression. Now, the main project that the London, New York people had in the past 8, 10, 12 months was to try to unload those forces of depression against Europe. And this was the big hedge fund attack on Greece, Spain, Portugal. It was a concerted conspiratorial event, right, written up on the front page of the Wall Street Journal with various hedge funds, including Soros, including SAC, including Einhorn of Greenlight Capital, including Paulson and Company, and others. And the idea was you could get a crisis going against the euro. And I think the goal of that was to have a panic flight, an actual collapse of the euro, where we'd lose one-third or one-half or maybe more of its value in just a few days, to have that in May sometime. The big lesson is that it has not worked. So far, the euro is holding relatively steady. The Europeans have done this phony bank stress test. The Europeans now think that they can survive, and that leaves these forces of depression are going to go somewhere, and they can go towards London, they could go towards Tokyo, I suppose, or they could go towards China. I don't think that's very likely. The likely targets are, once again, London and New York. And if it goes towards London, remember there's that euro-dollar market sitting in London. So if London goes down, the dollar begins to go down very rapidly.
And we've already seen that starting, but let me stop you for a moment. From your research, what are the power fissures? Because to have Merkel come out 3 months ago during the start of this and say criminal banks are doing this by design, and to have these big brokerage firms admit they were doing it, Europe supposedly allied with this whole New World Order. So this does look like desperation that the vampires are now trying to feed on their own brethren, vampires.
Yes, well, of course, they always do that, right? It's always beggar my neighbor, export the depression to the next guy, and if you can hang on longer, you can feast on his flesh. And the big thing that the Germans did was the banning of the naked credit default swaps and the banning of many kinds of naked sales of short sales of stock. But now, if you can't save the dollar from a crash in the next 6 to 12 months, say, by dumping all of that into Europe and then essentially having a distressed merchandise sale in Europe and using that loot to prop up the dollar, what can you do? Well, this gets us back to 1973 and the oil crisis of that year, which was planned at the Bilderberger meeting in Saltsjöbaden, Sweden, where they had presentations about the effect of a 400% rise in the price of oil. And that gave rise to Henry Kissinger's Kippur War of October 1973, and a completely phony Arab oil boycott, which never interrupted supplies, but was used as a kind of a stunt, a public relations event, to allow the brokers to bid up the spot prices in the various commodity markets for oil around the world. If you had an attack on Iran today, the response of the Iranians would be some kind of attempted interdiction of the Gulf, the Straits of Hormuz, and things like this. And ironically, this would be exactly what the doctor ordered for the dollar, because if you raise the price of oil from the current 75 or 80 or whatever it is, if you can get that up to 500 or 1,000, you create a tremendous demand for dollars. There would be no dollar crisis for some time to come if you could get the price of oil up at that level. And you can also see all of these wonderful Malthusian green jobs programs, right? All the wind energy, the windmills and the solar cells and the electric cars, things that are not economical today that require government subsidies would become economical. They would become economically feasible in a general context of complete immiseration.
So that poverty would force the acceptance of the carbon tax.
Well, at that point, you wouldn't even need a carbon tax because you'd be bringing it in through the price. In other words, all of the people who want the carbon tax are trying to raise the price of energy because they hate energy. They hate energy production. They hate industry. They hate technology, science, progress.
And by the way, they say this. They want a post-industrial world because it's a finance system against true productivity and their entire Malthusian system. So it appears the only move they've got is A, attacking Iran and other nations, and B, staging domestic operations to try to stymie the populist movement that is voting out incumbents across the political spectrum.
Yes, and above all, this idea of raising the price of oil, which would for them be a godsend. Now, there are a couple of other things that are going on. The neocons were kicked out, by and large, from the Bush-Cheney regime during 2007. And the landmark on that was that National Intelligence Estimate of December 2007, which said Iran has no nuclear weapons program. They said that with high confidence. Now, that meant that Cheney, essentially, his goose was cooked. That was his last gasp, really, of getting the war going with Iran. Now, there's an attempt to come back and change that finding with a new national intelligence estimate, which will, of course, now say, we think that Iran does have a nuclear weapons program. All kinds of signals on that coming from Mrs. Clinton, from Panetta, from Gates. The U.S. has actually been telling the other PERM 5 members at the United Nations that this will be coming very soon. And they even say they won't publish the NIE itself, but they'll publish the findings, which will simply be believe us, trust us, Iran has a nuclear weapons program. Behind this, in turn, the Brzezinski group, in kicking out the neocons, had promised that they could take over Iran with the color revolution,
but
the
they failed.
Revolution of Mousavi, and it's failed now. This has not gone anywhere, so that doesn't work. You've also got the idea that Russian policy has become less stern, less formidable, let's say. We now have this sort of dual power situation of Putin and Medvedev. Now, Putin was, of course, a very tough customer, and even though it was very unlikely that Russia would risk war for the sake of Iran, there were plenty of things Russia could do to make life very uncomfortable for the Anglo-Americans in case of some kind of attack. And just the fact that the Russians, Ria Novosti was, for example, one of the big sources for these things like Operation Bite, which was the attack on Iran planned for Good Friday, April 2007, and similar things. We also had the visit of Putin to Ahmadinejad in October 2007, which was pretty much at the height of the danger. So there was a deterrent effect by having a strong leader like Putin in power. Now you have Medvedev, Putin. This is no longer functioning quite so well. Another big thing, Petraeus, the fact that the Obama counterinsurgency around McChrystal failed, and now we've got Petraeus, Bush's general, the king of the neocons, the probable neocon candidate for president in 2012. His power has become immense in the bureaucracy. And if you look at the literature, you'll see that the central command under Petraeus planned an attack on Iran to the point where they now consider this plan to be mature, right? If you read this essay that I've written, people say, yes, the CENTCOM has now put it all together. We didn't really have a plan in the past, but now we have it because CENTCOM did it. And, of course, they did it during the time that Petraeus was there. So the strengthening of the neocons with Petraeus, this tremendous weakness of the Anglo-Americans because of the bankruptcy of the dollar and therefore their desire, really, for some kind of an event in the Middle East like 1973, the failure of this green revolution. There's also another thing, which is that Hezbollah has been acquiring some rather sophisticated missiles. They've got this thing called the M600, I believe it is, which is something like 300 kilometers, but it has a guidance system, right? The missiles that Hezbollah was using in the 2006 Lebanon War, which were essentially Russian World War II.
Why on earth would Hezbollah start another war and elicit an Israeli attack?
Well, they wouldn't. This is part of a deterrent system. In other words, this you can think of Hezbollah as a kind of an aircraft carrier for Iran close to the Israeli border, and they're able to deliver this deterrent. In other words, there's already a situation of conventional deterrent. So Iran has pushed ahead with an array of four or five new medium-range and intermediate-range ballistic missiles, the Shahabs and others, right? We could go through the names, but they're there. And then you've got these other missiles in southern Lebanon.
Webster, stay there. We got a break. When we come back, though, when do you see the attack happening? Do you believe this with the Iranian leader saying that he's got the intel, the attack is on the next 3 months? What's the second country he's saying is going to be attacked? Is it Lebanon or is it Syria? Stay with us, Webster Griffin Tarpley. All right, open phones coming up in the next segment and into the third hour, 1-800-259-9231. Our last segment with Webster, and we've got his excellent articles up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, like this one. China surpasses U.S. in energy consumption, while the Malthusian crackpots of the Obama regime fiddle with cap and trade. That's at Tarpley.net. Webster, do you agree with Ahmadinejad that it is green-lighted, it will happen in the next 3 months, or is he being made to believe that? Is there any way to avert this? When is the attack on Iran coming, and what will the aftermath be?
Well, I'm not sure when he said this, but depending on when he said it, he might be agreeing with me, because in this article that I put up Thursday of last week,
he said it yesterday in Press TV.
I speculated, saying, look, I don't have any specific information, but the one thing you know about these attacks is that they tend to occur in the dark of the moon, right? The new moon, when there's no moonlight, because of the way that these stealth cruise missiles and planes, you know, if you can see them, you can hit them. But if you can't see them, then it's very, very hard. And the timetable of the new moon for the coming 3 months, August 10th, September 8th, October 7th, this I write at the end of that piece on Iran. I found an article by Arnaud de Borchgrave, an old adversary of mine. I used to work for UPI, now works for Newsmax, and he says Obama would like to have three wars, and if he has three wars, he can have two houses of Congress still under his control, which seems to be suggesting an October surprise. So if you look at the October 7th date, I have no way of knowing, right? But that could be a good guess, or maybe not. I don't know. Certainly, when it happens, right, the Iranians have these missiles, the Fajr, the Shahab, the Ghadr, the Ashura, and the Sajil. These are all 2,000 kilometers. Some of them have MIRVs. They have multiple warheads.
And they've got more than 12,000 anti-ship missiles as well.
Yes, they do. And the part, however, on Israel, what I'm concerned about most is the ways that this could now go nuclear, because there are such ways. A guy writing in the Asia Times speculates that if you had Hezbollah firing, first of all, this spray of tens of thousands of Katyushkas that they have, the Russian World War II vintage, and putting in among them these medium-range ballistic or short-range ballistic missiles that Hezbollah now seems to have, maybe 100 or 200. And if the Iranians were firing their conventional missiles at the same time, they might be able to overwhelm the Israeli defense system. Now, the Israelis have an ABM system, which is layered, and it's Iron Dome at the bottom, then David Sting, then Arrow, and then the U.S.-made Patriot. But again, this is subjected to a complete barrage, right? Salvos that are simultaneous.
Well, how are they going to sell preemptively attacking Iran, then Iran fires back, and they're going to decry Iran fighting back? I mean, this is insane.
Well, naturally, they'll do two things. If Iran strikes against Israel, they'll demonize that, of course. And if Iran strikes against U.S. bases, say in the United Arab Emirates or Saudi Arabia or Iraq, they can demonize that.
And we know Iran does have sleeper teams everywhere.
Here's the other thing. Some time ago, and I cite this in that article that you mentioned, the scenario for U.S. encirclement in Iraq it depends on this route Tampa, right? There's a very long supply line that goes from Kuwait City to the Baghdad region. All of those other countries, everybody else, 35,000 NATO and other foreign non-U.S. troops have all left. If you had a decisive effort by the Iranians together with Muqtada Sadr of the Mahdi Army to cut route Tampa, to cut that supply line, that could become very critical. Same thing in Afghanistan, because the supply line has to go through Pakistan, where the hostility is building. You've also got the fact that the U.S. has forces in a total of 11 countries to try to encircle Iran. The 11, if you want to hear them, Iraq, Afghanistan, Turkey, Pakistan, Kuwait, Azerbaijan, Armenia, Turkmenistan, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Kyrgyzstan. There are U.S. bases in all of those. Now, let's suppose, instead of being a factor of strength, that dispersal of forces and fragmentation of forces turns into a liability. The standard response, and I confirmed this with a U.S. Navy captain of the submarine, nuclear submarine fleet, this past Sunday night. He said he had been, when he was in the service, he was in a drill where the assumption was 35,000 U.S. forces are surrounded and cut off in Iran or near Iran. What do you do? Well, the thing is, you fire nuclear weapons immediately. And similarly, if you do anything with Pakistan, Pakistan has nuclear weapons. So I think we've got three ways it can go nuclear. The Israelis go nuclear.
Webster, hold on. I know you've got to go, but this is too. Webster, I know you got to go. This is too important. Do a couple more minutes with us on the other side and finish up. Put a bow on what you've been talking about and how this will unfold if they do strike Iran. We're on the verge of World War III, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a few rounds of calls here as soon as Tarpley leaves us in a few minutes. And then, for the entire last hour, the phones are going to be open only for military and police. because top secret USA in the Washington Post is nothing. When you talk about InfraGuard, you talk about the clergy response teams, you talk about the threat fusion centers and how they are training the police and military publicly for martial law in the United States. If they start an attack with Iran, there will be real terror attacks, not just stage ones in this country. And they're going to use that to come after you. That's what this banking structure needs, is an outside threat as a pretext to control our lives. And we've got to reach out to the military and police now, ladies and gentlemen, now, before they shut the web off during a war, like Lieberman told Candy Couric on CNN. We're going back to Tarpley here briefly to finish up with how this nuclear war could unfold. It's not just Tarpley. Mainstream news, mainstream analysts, the Russian government are saying this could lead to nuclear war. Our own military says they're going to use nukes. 4 years ago under Bush, they had a plan to use, quote, small nukes. So we'll talk about that with Tarpley in a moment, then go to your phone calls. Matt, Seal, David, Dave, Matt, and others that are holding. I first wanted to just point out to everybody that I do believe in being self-sufficient. Those of us that know what's happening understand the globalists want us to be dependent on them. They want to shut off our resources to control us and bring us into this collectivist system, this corporate collectivist slave grid of full-spectrum dominance. You need high-quality, storable food, and the place to get it is eFoodsDirect.com. With all the problems in the economy, looming war, the Gulf, all of it, you are insane if you don't get storable foods, in my opinion. And the place to get them is eFoodsDirect.com. That's eFoodsDirect.com. The letter E, FoodsDirect.com, or 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. And lastly, I want to tell you about MySolarBackup.com, a super high-quality solar panel and charger and controller system that can run your shed, run a few appliances. They've got solar-powered converters. They've got a whole bunch of great stuff. Check it out at mysolarbackup.com. The government doesn't own the sun yet, ladies and gentlemen. And you can get a bunch of these and run your whole house. But it's great at campsites, your work shed. And we've been selling these for 3 years. Our sponsor has, and I've got nothing but rave reviews. Mysolarbackup.com. You can run something like a Cola Blue off of it. MySolarBackup.com or get a free information pack at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365, MySolarBackup.com. Okay, Webster, finishing up, you were getting up to the point of nuclear weapons being used, and the Bush administration 4 years ago said that's part of the CENTCOM attack profile if Iran responds. If Iran as much as fires an anti-aircraft weapon back at an aircraft, they're going to be nuked. Go ahead.
Again, I think you can see three ways. One of them is with this Iran-Hezbollah combination. So far, Hezbollah, as we saw in 2006, has had a counter-value strategy vis-a-vis Israel. In other words, they point these rather crude rockets at a city, Haifa, or some other place, and they hope it's going to hit something. So it's basically terror bombing of cities. But if you have more accurate missiles that can actually hit targets, you can go over to a counter-force strategy. You can target the air bases of the Israeli Air Force. And indeed, I've seen things on the Internet that the Israeli Air Force is ready to flee from northern Lebanon at the drop of a hat and take refuge in southern Israel because they now fear these 200 new missiles that the Hezbollah have been able to obtain. And if you had this simultaneous attack from Iran and from Hezbollah, if they were targeting Israeli Air Force airfields, including in the south of Israel, this could put Israel into a very critical situation. And naturally, as always, as we had it in Europe during the Cold War, if you're losing on the conventional plane and you have nuclear weapons, then you get a tremendous temptation to go nuclear, to escalate to the nuclear level, thinking that you can solve your problems there. So it could come through Israeli retaliation if they thought they were losing in a conventional way. And the lesson of Lebanon 2006 was that they did lose in a conventional way. Second is by the U.S. If the U.S. forces are encircled anywhere, Iraq, Afghanistan, or these total of 11 countries, then nuclear forces might
be used. Well, that's always been the default, going back to two-man teams with things like Davy Crockett tacticals.
Right, and then Pakistan, right? Anything that, if you're attacking Pakistan, you have to remember that the U.S. is deterred from directly attacking Pakistan, or should be, by the fact that Pakistan has nuclear weapons. They can defend themselves. That's why you have to do all this subversion with the help of WikiLeaks and others to get the Pakistanis going. So you add this all together, there are three ways that this could go nuclear. I would also point to the fact that since I wrote this article, General Hayden, the former head of the NSA and the CIA,
he said the attack is inexorable.
He says it's inexorable. And then we have, as you point to, this very suspicious Japanese tanker explosion coming, today?
And they're now whitewashing that, saying a wave blew out a bulkhead. So who knows the truth?
It's hard to tell. But you're now in a very, very sensitive geometry, and this could happen at any point. Now, and actually, we had this national anti-war meeting in Albany, New York, this past weekend. And the one thing that they did come up with, this was not a great gathering. The anti-war movement is in bad shape. But they did decide that there's a march on Washington, for essentially an anti-war march run by the AFL-CIO on October 2nd. So that's obviously not going to be a very aggressive program. It's probably going to be something they try to channel into supporting Democratic candidates for Congress, obviously. But still, I think you can inject some stuff into that. It's also interesting, yesterday the Democrats in the House voted to, there were about 102 of them, I think, who voted to end the Afghanistan war pretty much right away, which is an increase of 70 votes. So there's a gathering caucus of Democrats who are voting against Obama on one of his main issues, because he campaigned for the presidency on the idea that he was going to escalate Afghanistan, win, and he was going to track down bin Laden. So, again, my favorite slogan, you have two choices in life, get active or get radioactive. Better to get active and better to do it now.
All right, Webster Tarpley, we'll continue to watch these ominous developments. Thank you for spending time with
us. Thank you.
All right, there he goes. I'm going to take your phone calls now and try to go as quickly to each person as I can so we can get everybody on. And then I want police and military out there to start their engines. Because when we start the second segment at 8 after next hour, I am going to take phone calls as quickly as possible, but they're always intriguing, from people like the gentleman that called a few days ago and said, I was in Iraq in the Army. The Austin SWAT team was there learning from us how to shut down cities and confiscate guns for the United States. Then I searched the term and found the Fort Hood Sentinel admitting the SWAT team had been over there, and that they had city officials learning how to lock things down at Fort Hood from Austin. I mean, that's how criminal this city is and how treacherous and traitorous they are. And then we had other callers yesterday saying, yeah, no, I'm in Texas. We train at a fusion center. I train these people. The military comes back. They become law officers, and they're being militarized and taught to the American people of their enemy. So the entire architecture of this militarization of police is targeted at the American people. And we have their internal memos and manuals, you know, about MIAC and others. But none of this has to do with turbaned men that, you know, want to climb out from underneath your bed and suck your blood at night. This is all for you to make sure this offshore banking cartel can really take over this country into the depression we're going. So I want to say we're going to take these calls right now, but then starting in the next hour, we're leaving the phones open for police and military who've been part of this training or have concerns about it, or people that have, Joel Skousen's got a great report out on this. Chuck Baldwin's got one. Top Secret America, the rest of the story, how they're training these black op cadres to kill the American people. And this is all admitted. They're not just training SWAT teams and military. They're training Boy Scouts. The LAPD's actually taken over the Explorer Scout program. And in the drills, on TV and in the newspapers, they say to take on disgruntled vets and kill them. I mean, you cannot, in fact, search engine for people right now, Boy Scouts training to take on vets. And then you can see the New York Times photos of the images of the mock dead vets killed by the kids. So, I mean, the real training on the basis, left, right, it's for you. Remember that. When they first induct somebody in a SWAT team or military, the first drills are guys with turbans and, you know, they'll have these little events. But then next it's, by the way, we're fighting Farmer Jones. There it is, government readies youth corps to take on vets. That's the Prison Planet article. But if you scroll down, there'll be a link to the New York Times. You can see all the photos and read all about it. And they say how wonderful all of this is. So This is what my film Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA, covers. And the article in the New York Times is scouts trained to fight terrorists and more. And the first line says, the disgruntled vet's angry. He won't turn in the gun. They send him in. They take him out. Now, there it is, 10 minutes into errant mayhem in the town near the Mexican border. A gunman, a disgruntled Iraq war veteran, has already taken out two people. One slumped on a desk, the other covered in blood on the floor. And, folks, I've seen the drills. It's been in the news in Michigan where they practice taking on homeschooling families and killing you. I mean, that's AP. I could pull it up right now. I mean, you can't make up the diabolical nature. This has happened in every other country. When nations go bad, this is what happens. All right, I'm going to shut up and go to your calls. That's coming up next hour. Let me give the police officers and military people who want to give us their comments on this or any intel the number 1-800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. This will be informative. Matt in Georgia, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Alex?
Good, sir.
Hey, actually, my main thing is on Iran, but I am military, and I got a tip for you. You can search, you can Google, or you can put it into YouTube. They actually have their promotional video up. The system we were trained to use is called the HIDE. That's HIDE. What it is it's a small camera. They use it in theater, but we were told that this is going to be used everywhere. This is not just in the United States. This is a global thing. They can upload about 40,000 iris scans and face scans and fingerprint scans into the camera itself. And they're working on expanding this. So basically what you do is you go in, you gather biometric data any place that you go. And it also has a function so you can put the last place this person was spotted. So the idea was that, well, if they were spotted in, say, Basra, and then you see them again in Tikrit, then you would say, well, why are you in Tikrit? So it's a system that's...
Yeah, for those that don't know, I saw earlier generations of this. It's in Police State 2000. Where they're practicing putting San Franciscans, they say, where are you from? I'm from San Francisco. Where'd you get the weapon? And they iris scan you. They enroll you into this. And in Fallujah, if you don't have the ID card that goes with this, Tom Brokaw, one of his last broadcasts, said, like, it was good. You were executed on the spot. I mean, that's an amazing, but that was on NBC Nightly News. And there is the L1 Identity Solutions HIDE system. The police are now getting this all over the country. And your digital photo, the face scanning cameras, this is the secret weapon a year ago written about by Washington Post writer, who, of course, was a part of going after Nixon. And he, what's his name? It'll pop my head in a second. Who's the famous writer? No, what? No, it's not Frost. No, it's not Cy Hirsch. Who are the two? I'm having one of those moments. Who are the two famous people that did Watergate? Bob Woodward. These are the secret weapons, and they're on the cameras, on the light poles, everywhere. I'm going to shut up. Go ahead and tell folks about the HIDE, the beast tracking control grid.
Right. Yeah, it's basically they take the thumbprint, iris scan, face scan, and they said that this is supposed to be a global system. I also saw a news clip also on YouTube that they're already integrating this in Colorado, and they're using it for, they said, routine traffic stops every now and then.
No, they have face scanning cameras and thumbprint readers going in all over the country. Most departments don't tell the slave public this, but they have units with the license plate scanners. It's here, and it's going to be used against citizens. Illegal aliens will be above the law.
But actually, my main thing, the reason I called was I'm looking at Kurt Nemo's article, possible false flag on the Japanese tanker. And I think there's something that we miss a lot of times when we look at something like the Trilateral Commission, is we always think of Europe and the United States. Well, there's the third leg, which is Japan. If you look at who owns a tanker, it's Mitsui, which was a backer of the fascist regime in World War II. It was what was one of what was called the Zaibatsu, which was one of the monopolies. They're closely tied to the royal family in Japan, and it's also a bank. Mitsui is the largest bank in Japan. It's one of the largest in the world. So when they voted out the LDP prime minister earlier, and they put Hato Yamane in, who was from the Democratic Party, which was, this is only the second time since World War II that the LDP has been out of control, and they've only been out of control for probably 2 years during the past 50. But he came in saying he was going to, scale down U.S. bases. He wasn't going to remilitarize Japan, which has been a big push, especially with the former prime minister.
And then suddenly the ship gets blown up in South Korea and World War III is being talked about.
Exactly. And as well, if you look at Afghanistan, when they announced all these mineral riches, Karzai visited Japan and said that Japan has first dibs. So there's a lot of pull from different directions. Their big problem is that the Japanese public, they like the fact that their constitution says that they can't operate militarily outside their country. If they do, all they can do is basically drive trucks or deliver food aid.
Well, I'll tell you this. The word is from good sources that for the last 15 years, Japan, because of the threat of China and North Korea, has been rearming.
Right. They now have the fifth largest military in the world, but they won't cross that certain line. They tried to put those troops in Iraq, and the public wouldn't stand for it. They were trying to get them into Afghanistan. The most they could do is provide some resupply ships off the coast of Pakistan to resupply American ships. But now there's this big push again, and there's no reason why Iran would attack a Japanese ship. I mean, if you remember, they're selling oil in Japanese yen. So they've always had a favorable opinion of the Japanese. So
who knows?
To do it would be suicide.
Matt, who knows what the truth is? I appreciate your great points. And yes, face scanning is coming to everywhere. You'll need it to buy and sell with a national sales tax. This is the public plan, and the churches won't tell you. And if America doesn't get serious and get focused and get concerned, and the rest of the planet doesn't get serious and concerned and say no to all of this, we are in for very horrible times. Seal in Canada, you're on the air.
Thank you very much, General Jones, I should say. And thank you for your comments too, Mr. Tarpley, Dr. Tarpley. I want to say those resources over there in Afghanistan, they're getting awful expensive, I would say. You know, I think it's about time that all these other people around here that are sitting in their cold water, sitting on the burner like a frog, like a bunch of frogs, they better wake up and start doing something about it. You know, it's always after the war that we say, oh, that was too expensive. Well, it's going to be expensive if we don't do something about it. These power mongers at the top, like you said yesterday, Alex Jones, they themselves are beasts, you know, just like it says in the Bible. And God requireth that which is past. Can't we learn from the past? These wars are too expensive. We're going under tyranny here. Roar! We've had enough!
Seal, good to hear from you. But that's what's sick about it. We pay for the war. The corporations get the resources. And then we go into debt to the very same bankers that own those corporations. And if the public doesn't get wise, it's over. You're all going to be basically bankrupt. They mean a total hardcore depression. We'll be back with more calls. Key info on what the police state means to you and your family coming up in the next hour. Let's continue with your phone calls right now. Dave in New York, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Alex, how are you doing?
Good, sir.
Hey, it's great to be on the show. I've been listening for about 2 years and got woken up around that time. And I just wanted to see what you thought of this. I think the best way to wake people up is being able to show them documents that proof they really can't argue with that. And I was wondering what you thought of maybe getting up on your site just a place that's just concentrated documents, white papers, admissions by the global elite about things like fluoride in the water, things like that.
Well, sir, we publish articles every week that have the union for the EPA with 90%+ of their scientists coming out and saying sodium fluoride's deadly. And under that name, fluoride, they're adding hundreds of chemicals like arsenic, lead, mercury to the water. I mean, you can show them the Washington Post saying half of corn syrup products have high levels of mercury in them. You can show them hundreds of news articles admitting aspartame's causing women to have miscarriages and low birth weights and deformities. I mean, it's admitted that Prozac causes brain damage, and I mean, that's now even on the news. I mean, I take whatistheendgame.com. Whatistheendgame.com? That's an online bibliography with documents and eugenics documents and sterilization documents. Everything covered in the film has a bibliography right there. Most of my other films have viewer guides that have all the proof. Look, all the evidence of government corruption and evil and that they're lying to us and that they're psychopathic is everywhere. And we do post documents constantly. I mean, they can read Operation Northwoods. Just search that term. Government plan to stage terror attacks on the American people. I mean, it's everywhere. This information is everywhere. And we shouldn't have to, I mean, we do spoon feed it, but we shouldn't have to spoon feed. People should be knocking down doors to find this info out. But they've just gotten to where they're a bunch of TV heads who think life is about watching television and doing what the government says. The government's been taken over by crooks. And the hedge of protection, the Bill of Rights and Constitution, has been trampled. And people are starting to wake up. But if they don't wake up to the fact of just how serious this is, it's over, David.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Well, you know, I just thank you for all you're doing. I think you're doing a great job, and just keep it up.
Well, God bless you, Dave. I just do the best job I can. I mean, the entire government's setting up to make war on the people. They're trampling the Bill of Rights everywhere by design, and they're robbing us, and it's out of control. Taxes are going up. Services are going down. We're screwed. We better take our government back. Let's talk to Matt in Minnesota. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex. I don't know if you've heard yet or not, but the SEC, through the new financial legislation that was passed and signed by Obama.
Yes.
The SEC was given basically immunity from any public oversight, including Freedom of Information Act.
Yes, and the new private board appointed by the Federal Reserve is given total control over the economy. So the very banks that robbed us are given even more power.
Yeah, so they have a complete immunity now. There's actually a story on that on FoxBusiness.com right on the front page.
Well, that rattled them, Matt, because when it came out for 11 years, they were being told about Madoff and that they blocked an investigation. This is a group of J.P. Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs crooks that run all of these major departments. And yes, they have said, we can now steal everything. And the public sucking their thumbs, talking about football scores, and they're going to get hurt real bad. And they got the military and the police ready to literally stomp our guts out. In fact, he just found the article. Put it back up for folks. Good job, guys. SEC says new financial regulation law exempts it from public disclosure. Yeah, there's your reform. Yes, I've read the bill. We've had Ron Paul, Judge Napolitano on. It's so horrible, I don't have words to describe to you. Great points, Matt. Anything else?
No, that's it. Just point out that that's total tyranny and despotism, and people should stand up and
Sir,
keep filing freedom of information reports.
Absolutely. They've got 854,000 secret spies.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, I'm going to finish up with the callers we've got on hold. And as each caller leaves us, that'll leave a line open for police and military to call in and talk about whether they think this country's turning into a police state. Do they understand they're being trained for war against the American people? Had a lot of amazing calls yesterday, but we got some bad news, but we knew it was coming with this judge's history. Now it'll go on to the full Ninth Circuit. Fox News reports federal judge blocks part of Arizona immigration law. A federal judge today blocked some of the toughest provisions in the Arizona immigration law, putting a hold in the state's attempt to have local police enforce federal immigration policy. A federal judge on Wednesday blocked some of the toughest provisions in the Arizona immigration law, putting on hold the state's attempt to have local police enforce federal immigration policy. So that's kind of like saying local police, if they catch somebody committing a federal crime, you're not supposed to arrest them. This is the lawlessness, the criminality. Do you understand what it means to have a criminal, rogue government? None of us are safe. It's like Russia or China or other tyrannies. Do you know what this means? Though the rest of the law is still to get into effect Thursday, the partial section of SB 1070 means Arizona, for the time being, will not be able to require police officers to determine the immigration status of anyone they stop or arrest. So we'll talk more about this coming up. But right now, let's go back to your calls. Matt, just talk to Matt. David in Virginia, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. Good to see you. A little context here. I also am a radio guy, do middays on a Cox radio station in Richmond, Virginia. Started when I was 21, right out of UNC Chapel Hill, like you. I cannot believe you were prescient enough at the age of 21 to figure this out when nobody was talking about it. A lot of my colleagues look to you as sort of like the guy on high, as opposed to maybe a Rush, whom they view as kind of pompous and a blowhard. Having said that, here are two quick questions. If you're a contrarian, could anybody make the case that because the whole world is saying, you know, Obama needs something, you know, around a 9/11 sort of theme in order to save himself, every newspaper, everywhere around the world, is there any chance, speaking from a contrarian standpoint, as people do vis-a-vis the stock market, that it might not happen because of that?
Well, it might not happen if they think they're going to get caught doing it, and if they know enough people are aware of false flag terror, stage terror, self-inflicted wounds. But it's part of their arrogance that when all these government officials, people like Gary Hart and others, say, the government stages terror attacks, you better do what we say, Iran. We'll stage one and attack you. You know, he wrote a public letter saying that 3 years ago. They think you're so stupid that they operate right out in the open. I was smart enough at age 21 to already be on air, not because I was that smart, but because I happened to read nonfiction history for entertainment from about the age of 12. And so if you'd studied Hitler, Stalin, Mao, Julius Caesar, you knew what you were seeing. Those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. I have read the classic historical works, Rise and Decline of Roman Empire, Gibbon, others, Scherer's Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, Hobel's Order of the Death's Head, and others. So I knew exactly what was going on. And then by the time I was 21, I'd already started going to the library and reading legislation, government documents. And I saw all these world leaders admitting world government was being established. Then I'd turn on CNN. They'd say, dangerous terrorist, talk about world government. And I said, boy, I better get on air. And then in 95, I was watching, right when I got on air, newscasts out of Oklahoma that local patriots were playing on Access TV, where they were removing the bombs and it had been bombs inside. So, and I saw Clinton come out and demonize patriots with it. I mean, it was a Reichstag event. I knew Hitler firebombed the Capitol. I knew Clinton had blown up Oklahoma City. And so, I mean, it's just history. If you know history, you already know humans do the same things over and over again. Anything else, David?
Yeah, one more question here. Do you think this Gulf oil thing really is over? I mean, I kind of had the feeling, you know, from the get-go it was going to be this mega event, and I'm skeptical of the fact that it really is, quote-unquote,
well,
over.
Well, I'm glad you say that. In the BBC, the CEO of BP says it's probably not over. In fact, I've got that in my stack. Let me try to dig that out. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are now into our number three of the syndicated radio transmission on screen at PrisonPlanet.tv for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Wish to not just listen, but actually watch. Incoming BP CEO thinks but can't guarantee oil flow has ended. Now, since they reportedly capped it 2 weeks ago, there's oil in a two-mile area coming out of all these other fissures. Clearly, it cracked down beneath the surface in the 80-plus days of it leaking, and it is now still leaking. And remember, three separate times before that, they had said that they had capped it, and then a week or two later admitted that it wasn't capped. In some cases, just a few days later, they would admit it hadn't been capped. He says, I think no guarantees, but I believe there will be no more oil flowing into the Gulf as of the 15th of July. Dudley told CNN's America Morning. That's when they think they capped it, was a few weeks ago. This is a new interview he did last night. No anomalies or breaches have been detected at the well, and pressure is rising slowly, indicating that it is structurally sound and has integrity, BP said Wednesday. So I hope that is the case, but all the other reports are there's all these fissures everywhere leaking, and they say, oh, well, that's another oil well. Then many, many miles away, a barge hit another oil well and has caused a big leak. All of that information is up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. One other big announcement. This wasn't really a surprise. Federal judge blocks part of Arizona immigration law, says they can't ask you if you're an illegal alien. Of course, if you're a citizen, they can ask for your papers and ask you where you're going and try to demand to search your vehicle, which violates the Bill of Rights. But if you're an illegal alien, you're talking to a god, and you can't ask them. federal judge blocks part of Arizona immigration law. This is a lawless government that selectively enforces unconstitutional laws against the people, but leaves the illegal aliens alone because they want that voting block and they want to drive down the wages. This is NAFTA and GATT. This is globalization. It's further destroyed Mexico and is destroying this country. Al Gore told you it was a great deal. He told Larry King, this is a great deal, Larry. We have a clip of that in my film, Fall of the Republic. You know it to be a fraud. All right. For the balance of the hour, I'm going to talk to military. Well, first, let me finish these two calls that are ahead of Scott, Chris, and others. But as we let callers go, that's a chance for military and police to call in and talk about what's confirmed. Military being dispatched all over the country to run checkpoints against the citizens. They call them crime checkpoints, drug checkpoints, drunk driving checkpoints. It's all illegal. At the threat fusion centers, the military is being trained to confiscate guns to take on the American people for riot control. And I've got some key intel on this we're going to be covering coming up. But right now, let's finish up quickly with Daryl and George, then on to Scott, Chris, and others. The toll-free number for military and police to call in who disagree with me, who agree, who have concerns, who are commanders, people have called in, folks that are training these people. Because the American people can read this in the news now, but it's being spun as if it's good. It's important to actually hear from the people involved in it how real this is. And remember how every other country's fallen. Corrupt government gets in. They use the military and police against the people. Most nations are under this. And where you have this system in place, you have poverty and enslavement. They put this in place because the government's getting ready to rob everybody with taxes and regulations. I mean, we know what this is in history. This is bad. And they give these false narratives and these compartmentalized programs to the police and military, and then they graduate them through these different schools, psychologically profiling them until they have different cadres, including killers with badges, who think it's macho and tough and that the American people are their enemy and they're these real warriors when they pull your wife and kids over. This is the conversion of our police and military into servants of evil. It's happening. You can't deny it. Daryl in Texas, you're on the air.
Alex, hi. I just wanted to comment and say that I work at a hospital, a very large hospital in Central Texas, and what we are seeing, I am a pharmacist, and what we are seeing is difficulty in the supply chain in getting certain sizes of vials and ampules of certain medication. Now, I've talked to some of the older pharmacists that were around in the Gulf War, and they said they saw the same thing leading up to the Gulf War. These medications are listed as follows. They are dextrose injections. They are calcium injections. They are epinephrine injections. They are certain sizes of morphine and fentanyl vials. They are bicarbonate. And so these are drugs that are used in what's called the crash carts or the cardiac arrest situations, the trauma situations. And there are only certain vial sizes, the smaller dose vial sizes, that would typically be used in combat. We have a very large hospital that has a far reach as far as getting supplies. Another medication is propofol. That is a medication used to sedate people. It's a very favorite medication in the hospital to sedate
people.
Sure,
and they sedate somebody who's had their arms and legs blown off or their face blown off. They have drugs to minimize the effects of a chemical weapon attack. And the reports are ammunition, drugs, it's all drying up. I've even seen this in the mainstream news ahead of the Iran attack, which will probably lead to World War III. Then we'll all be patriotic and roll over to the bankers and let the Stasi secret police grid take over. 854,000 private spies now running America. This is a criminal takeover.
Yes, sir. But I just wanted to report that we are seeing difficulties. I mean, all indications look like we are definitely on the precipice. We're going to go to war. So I appreciate all the work you do, and I'll just bow out at that point. I just wanted to report that we're seeing that difficulty in supply chain.
All right, thank you, Daryl. We're going to finish up with George, and nothing but military and police after that. We've got Scott, Chris, and others holding. Let's talk to George in Connecticut. You're on the air.
Alex, I'm just wondering, why don't we take this right to their own homes? They seem to have these huge meetings with all the security. I know where Lieberman lives. I live a stone's throw away. I know where former President Clinton lives. I saw him walking his dog. if we put up signs around them, this will unnerve them because they.
I agree. It's all psychological warfare against them. We have the truth. They have the lie. Putting up signs where they live that we know you're a traitor, Clinton, protesting them. The power of all of my listeners making simple political messages with websites and putting them on telephone poles is incredible. It's everybody doing a little bit. We've got to identify them as illegitimate and criminal so that all their support dissipates and so we can take the nation back. This is red level emergency, and I agree with you, George.
One other quick thing. I've heard something on several places that this guy was talking about, that the state of California is now a corporate state. They put it all under corporate, and certain states have been fighting against legal actions because they put individuals as a corporation, all in cap letters. If this is true, if this is a legal mechanism, basically they've made themselves an illegal organization, a government organization. They're no longer a government organization. They're a corporatocracy already. And if there's a legal mind out there that can figure this out, we might be able to unseat them and start our own parallel government that is the legitimate government rather than a corporate government that's basically trying to subvert our rights.
All right. God bless you. I appreciate your call. We're going to go to break and go directly to Scott, Chris, Greg's DOD contractor. We're going to talk to everybody. And we had a trainer in Texas who trains the MJTF Threat Fusion Centers, and he said, everything you're saying is true, Alex. It's total martial law preparation. They're teaching them they're hardcore warriors, and their enemy is us. And that's for the inner cadres. The outer cadres, who they think are good men and women, aren't brought into that. We're going to be discussing it all after this break, but I wanted to go to Chuck Baldwin's Top Secret America, the rest of the story, and it gets into 854,000 private secret police with the highest security levels. You've got the clergy response teams, preachers being paid secretly to brainwash their flocks. I mean, that's right out of a science fiction movie, folks. That's so hardcore. It's illegal to have the CIA running all these threat fusion centers. This is all illegal. What is it you don't understand about that? Illegal, 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 illegal. Illegal to have Marines in Alabama at checkpoints in California. Illegal to have them in Tennessee with the Army and Marines and Homeland Security. But when the governor said don't do it, they said go fly a kite. This is a criminal takeover, just like Hitler used the military to take over Germany. Don't say you weren't warned later. And cops, I'm telling you better get up off your hind ends, like the general public needs you to do this as well, and research what we're saying and look into it. But continuing, the Post series has enough tantalizing information to sell a lot of papers, but almost nothing that exposes the illicit side of U.S. operations, a large portion of which is involved in recruiting, training, and running covert agents, only a small portion of which are spying on real enemies. A lot of spying targets are allies of patriotic Americans. Well, that's come out, like myself. The Army watches me. That's been declassified. Who the government worries could someday provide a source of rebellion against the growing totalitarian state. Skousen further charges that there is a dark side to each agency of federal law enforcement. The dark side involves a lot of compartmentalization, front activities, hidden budgets, and false stories in order to keep honest government employees and agents from knowing what's really going on behind their backs. The feds told cops, we're going to blow up Building 7, get everybody back, and they blew it up in front of everybody. I mean, we have the news footage of them saying this. Do you understand none of us are safe? If they'll go kill a million Iraqis, if they'll do all these other evil things, the people that run our government, you think you're safe? You think they won't do the same thing to you? They hate you. They hate Americans. They hate the free market. They hate your private property. They all want to dominate you. That's their spirit. That's who they are. What few do get a glimpse of in the government dark side are warned off with threats, some subtle and some lethal threats, which send a chilling message out to others not to ask too many questions. Skousen then, I'm going to get him on, then quotes a Post report saying that 9/11, the NSA has grown to where it constitutes 1.7 billion pieces of intercepted communications every 24 hours, emails. That's nothing. The phone companies are the NSA, as I told you 12 years ago. No, 14 years ago. It just goes on and on. But that's a good report we've got up at Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. Top Secret America, the rest of the story. We're going to take your call straight ahead. And then, The Year America Dissolved, Paul Craig Roberts, Infowars.com exclusive. The Year America Dissolved. Stay with us. Okay, I'm going to try to keep my comments to a bare minimum so we can get as many people on. Scott, Chris, Greg, Chris, and many others. Let's talk to Scott in Florida in the military. Scott, you've heard us breaking down how a criminal offshore takeover is almost complete. Everything we've broken down has now been admitted. Just secret police spies everywhere. Military being trained to take on the American people. Give us your take on it.
Roger, I hate to go back on you, but I have some intel I want to pass along to you on this Middle Eastern strategy that the government is currently pursuing.
Okay.
On 9/11/2001, I was stationed at Fort Stewart, Georgia. I was dating the administrative assistant of a high-ranking officer there. She informed me of a strategy within days of 9/11. And, of course, a comprehensive strategy would have taken months, if not years, to create. She informed me that Afghanistan would be invaded, which I already knew. That was fairly apparent. And then she said Iraq would be the next target, followed by Iran and Syria. Pakistan may have to be infiltrated because it may destabilize.
And that's now happening.
Yes, exactly. And then she also informed me that Lebanon and Jordan would fall, and possibly Syria even, after Iraq and Iran were out of the way. I discounted this information because I thought she had lost her mind, to be quite honest with you.
Well, Newsweek reported the week after 9/11 that Bush launched the attack orders to attack Afghanistan on September 10th.
Exactly. Apparently, this whole strategy was in place before 9/11. Is the only conclusion I can come to. And that kind of puts a little doubt on who is responsible for 9/11. And at the same time, every one of these dominoes that she told me about has taken place as far as every one of these instances of...
It's a 1984 Israeli plan, and that's been declassified, picked up in 99-2000 and developed, and then the attacks were staged, and the rest is history.
Exactly, and they're following it to a T. And what really caught me by surprise was that she told me about this so soon after 9/11, because there's no way they could have had this plan unless the plan was already in place before 9/11. There's no way they could have come with this after 9/11. So all this has been in place probably for more than a decade, as you're saying, Alex. And now it's coming to fruition. And so I would say within a few months, we can look forward to an invasion of Iran. Pretty much positively, we'll be invading Iran. So far, everything she's told me has come to fruition, and I really didn't put much stock in it at the time, even though she did have access to high-level brass and apparently overheard it at a high-level meeting. I thought she must have misunderstood what had been said or something.
Well, it turns out that's open intelligence that you just relayed here on air. God bless you, Scott. I appreciate your call. Call back again. Chris in Maryland, military, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, good to hear you again.
Good to hear you.
First off, before I start, I just want to let you know I sent your people a Huffington Post report today where it states that 481,000 workers from different cities and counties throughout the country, it comes up to be about roughly 63% of our cities and 39% of our counties are cutting public safety personnel like firemen and policemen. Just to let them take a look.
And they're increasing funding for SWAT, Special Weapons Attack Teams. The public name is Special Weapons and Tactics.
Right. Now, also, from my military perspective, I was in during the first Gulf War. And one thing that we learned was that we trained before during the Cold War for high-intensity conflicts. Then, all of a sudden, after the Gulf War, we turn around and turn into peacekeepers. And we get trained to go into other countries and do policing actions. So it actually started, from my experience, back in the first Bush administration.
What's your view on the fact that it's confirmed they are training the military to take on the American people and confiscate guns?
I wouldn't say it's too far off. I would not say that it's, I think it's right up. Could be as far as tomorrow.
And you know they'll stage terror attacks on the troops and say Patriots did it. You can see that script now being rolled out. Do you think the military is going to buy it?
I told my dad, I hope not. I said I'd hope that our military would be smart enough that if it got too crazy that our military would not turn on our own families, and they would use the weaponry to fight the system. Because we got tanks, we got the anti-tank killing machines and stuff like that, that they would probably say at one point, I'm hoping, I just hope that our men and women in service will say, hey, this is nuts, and take those weapons that they were trained to use and fight the establishment for the people and defend the Constitution like I raised my hand against enemies foreign and domestic.
Well, I'll tell you this. I hope that we can fix things peaceably, but the system wants a physical fight. God bless you, Chris. All right, Greg, Chris, and others, your calls are straight ahead. 1-800-259-9231. Open phone lines for police and military to talk about what's happening to our society. Can we stop the foreign corporate takeover?
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We get death threats here at the office all the time, but we have a 1-800 center here in Austin that takes our 1-800 orders. And they just called us and said they filed a police report. Somebody called up and threatened to kill me. So they're going to come kill me. And they called the police, and the police said I have to call them if they wanted to do anything with the person's phone number. These idiots that do star 69. When you call into a computerized phone system, we get your stinking phone number. Okay, you idiots. It doesn't matter. It just shows how many enemies we've got, so we always need your prayers. We're talking to police and military about the dark side, the way that they are openly training not to fight Taliban or Al-Qaeda that are government-created, but the American people. The police and military are being trained. They're even training maintenance groups in the Army for riot control. And this is all admitted now. So you need to understand that. We're taking your calls. It's 800-259-9231. Police and military, contractors, you name it. We're going to go to Greg, a DOD contractor in Kentucky, then Chris, who's in Arizona with the Marines. Greg, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hey, Alex. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in because what your guest was talking about earlier about this Iranian war turning into an all-out nuclear war. Well, I was in the Air Force in 07, and we had an exercise called the 8063 where they were preparing us for worldwide nuclear devastation, where I worked on an aerial refueler, and they'd have us get them what they called locked and cocked to where the aircraft was good with maintenance all over, and then it was sealed up and guarded by our SPs. Now, about 2 weeks after one of our exercises, and I don't know if you could help me out with this, they had something similar to where they had us go out and lock everything down. They didn't have the SPs guarding it, and then all of a sudden they got the call, and all the pilots came out and had those refuelers up in the air within like 15 minutes, and they were all loaded with 350,000 pounds of fuel. Now, when we talked to the pilots when they came back down, they said that they was refueling a flight of B-1 bombers and that they headed out west from California and then who knows where.
Well, you know they launched the attack on 888 in 2008 against Russia trying to start a nuclear war. The Russians moved in mobile medium range and ICBM long range launchers, and the head of the Russian military said we're preparing for nuclear war. And so the NATO troops that were landing in airfields then pulled out. So these are psychopaths that run our government. They are the bad guys. And the Russians are the bad guys. And the Iranians are the bad guys. Government's bad. What did Jesus say? Wickedness in high places. But the point is, the big mega empire is this big corporate structure. And they need to get their world government established. And nuclear war is the way to get it. We should all be praying right now and calling Congress and everybody and saying, don't take us to war with Iran. I appreciate your call, Greg. Chris in Arizona with the Marines. Go ahead, Chris.
Hello, Alex?
Yes, sir.
I want to say good morning, and I love you. You know, you're doing a great job. I have a few quick points, I guess. I was the one who called in a couple months ago. You know, I was coming into work, and some federal agent was behind me, looked at the bumper sticker on my truck, and, you know, he called my work shop, and, you know, I got talking to you about that, but thank God nothing ever happened to me. There's no follow-up.
Well, you've got these millions of secret police spies, not just the government ones, and they're all trained to look for American flags, Gadsden flags, and spy on people, and they just can't wait to start actually going after us. They just hate us.
Yeah, I looked at the MIAC report. It's all in there. I work for contract security on a military base here in Arizona, and my wife just told me about I'm a guard, and we have police counterparts that we work with, and she was telling me about there's this one, every time he'd pull somebody over, he'd be barking at him, you know, like a drill instructor, and they finally got, you know, a few people got fed up, and they basically went to his superiors, and he got reprimanded, so hopefully...
Well, this is part of our training, that they put all these control freak greenhorns in power to let the American people get used to being lined up, to being searched, to being controlled, to being bossed around, to being face scanned, thumbprinted. But then the illegal aliens, they're untouchable. 95% of L.A. County murder warrants that they can't seem to deliver are for illegal aliens. So it just shows how lawless this government is.
Yes, exactly. I guess people would wake up if they started illegally pulling over iPads. questioning iPads.
Hey, Chris, I appreciate your call. You know, we had a caller yesterday, and I had to cut him off because, and several others on hold, because we had Chuck Baldwin coming on the last 30 minutes. And he was a trainer, he said, at a fusion center, and was training, you know, the military when they were coming back to become police officers. And he said, it's exactly what I've been breaking down. Though everything I break down is in the news, we just put the pieces together. I'd like him, I forget his name, to be able to call back in. We've got a couple lines open because we're only taking calls from police and military. Or we had police officers call in and talk about how they're taught everybody's going to kill you, the American people are your enemy. It's a bunch of brainwashing. I mean, if cops want to be scared of something, be scared of being run over while you're writing tickets. That's the number one way you get killed. 1-800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Let's talk to Eric in Missouri. Eric, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, I just want to call in today real quick because I'm down in Missouri at Whiteman Air Force Base, and my brother's a cop in Arizona, and he said they were getting ready to do their preparations to begin the enforcement of the new law at...
Yeah, to actually be able to do something productive that's under the Constitution, but no, the federal judge says no.
Right. The judge just blocked it today.
Well, you've heard me ranting and raving about how they're training our police in Iraq to shut down cities and confiscate guns, and then I pulled up what the caller said and confirmed it was in the mainstream news. What's your take on that?
Oh, man, I just don't know what to think anymore. You know, Alex, we have stuff coming at us from every angle. We don't, and I think it's all on purpose to confuse everybody, and nobody's going to know who to trust each other, and you know, myself and everybody around me, we talk about it on the down low, and we just don't know what to think, Alex. That's why we look to you for some leadership, and we got to make sure who we can trust, and that's why we're glad that you come out and you talk about, you know, why we can trust you and how you're not, you know, part of the establishment, and we just want you to keep doing more of that and have more patriots calling in.
Well, Eric, let me say this. There's nothing wrong with you teaching the Bill of Rights and Constitution to your cohorts, and though they try to demonize it, it's what this country's founded on, and it's not bad. And it's not a conspiracy theory to stand up for liberty and freedom. And so just have discussions about what's happening. I mean, when you talk to other members of the military, are they starting to wake up?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a tinfoil hat myself. And all these 9/11 videos, I feel like a bunch of them are disinformation. And, you know, a lot of them don't show the actual crashes. And actually, I've been wanting to ask you for a long time, and now I have the opportunity. I was wanting to know what your opinion was about the media fakery angle on it and the Simon Shack video series, because that to me is the most interesting, because I know that every time we hear people in the media bring up 9/11, they're the ones that scream the loudest. And to me, they have the most to lose.
Well, Eric, I appreciate your call, but I have friends, people I've known for many years, who were there and saw the second aircraft. And you talk about disinformation, I think that's been put out and promoted by the media as a way to, you know, we're saying we don't know what happened with 9/11, but we know the official story has been proven to be a lie. I mean, they blew up Building 7 in front of us and said they were going to blow it up all over the news. And we have police saying, get back, they're blowing it up. And then we interviewed the deputy head of emergency management for New York, and he was dead a few weeks later. And he said, yeah, no, there was explosions going off before the towers even fell down. They were going to blow up 7. I mean, all of that is on record. And so I just stick to what I can prove. And I appreciate your call, though. Now, look, we've got open phones right now. We've got open lines right now, wide open, for police and military and others. And I'm asking police and military, are you part of this urban warfare training that's admitted? What do you think of the gun confiscation in New Orleans? When the globalists stage terror attacks or let real terrorists come in and attack us if we go after Iran, do you understand your training and the entire architecture of this is pointed at the American people? I want to hear your views on the dark side of the police and military and now how that's becoming revealed because they're getting ready to try to roll it out against us. It's admitted they've had sound cannons at Tea Party events in San Diego. It's admitted the Army spies on In the Fed protest. I mean, all of this is treason. 1-800-259-9231. Or are police and military so scared of Big Brother that they're even afraid to exercise their free speech? We haven't had any police. We had quite a few yesterday call in on this subject. We've got 17 minutes left. I want to hear from you. 1-800-259-9231. Or the wives of military or police that want to call in and talk about what their husbands or their wives, if your wives are in the military or police, that have been going through this training. It's all out in the open. Millions of private spies, not 854,000 like the Washington Post says. 3 million police, 400,000 battle-hardened army they want to use domestically. And all the training is pointed at the people. And the government will pass laws to take your property, take your ranch, take your farm. If you resist, you're going to be called a terrorist. They're going to kill you. We need to have an open discussion about this now and say no to it. There's another just incredible story today by Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, the father of Reaganomics, former head of the Treasury under Reagan, up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And it's the year America dissolved. It was 2017. Klans were governing America. The first Klans organized around local police forces. The conservatives' war on crime during the late 20th century and the Bush-Obama war on terror during the first decade of the 21st century had resulted in the police becoming militarized and unaccountable. As society broke down, the police became warlords. The state police broke apart, and the officers were subsumed into the local forces of their communities. The newly formed tribes expanded to encompass the relatives and friends of the police. That's hardly what happens in a tyranny. Anybody who's part of the thug system has all these special rights. It's a new class. The dollar had collapsed as the world reserve currency in 2012 when the worsening economic depression made it clear to Washington's creditors that the federal budget deficit was too large to be financed except by printing of money. With the dollar's demise, import prices skyrocketed, and Americans were unable to afford foreign-made goods. The transnational corporations that were producing offshore for U.S. markets were bankrupted, further eroding the government's revenue base. The government was forced to print money in order to pay its bills, causing domestic prices to rise rapidly. Faced with hyperinflation, Washington took recourse in terminating Social Security and Medicare and followed by the confiscating the remnants of private pensions. This provided a one-year respite, but with no more resources to confiscate, money creation and hyperinflation resumed. Organized food deliveries broke down. That's already starting to happen, and police forces are disbanding. With the government fought hyperinflation with fixed prices and the mandate that all purchases and sales had to be with U.S. paper currency. Unwilling to trade appreciating goods for depreciating dollars, goods disappeared from stores. Washington responded as Lenin had done during the War of Communism period of Soviet history. The government sent troops to confiscate goods for distribution in kind to the population. That's what's starting to happen in Venezuela. This was a temporary stopgap until existing stocks were depleted as future production was discouraged. Much of the confiscated stocks became the property of troops who seized the goods. And then it just goes into the nightmare collapse scenario. In fact, the whole article didn't print. Will you guys print it again for me? Thanks. Okay, that is the year America dissolved, 2017. And this is what the globalists actually want. They're going to reorganize it before it ever gets to that point, but it's going to get close to this. That's their stated plan. Let's go to Roy in Georgia, former military. Go ahead, give us your take, Roy.
Mr. Jones, Roy Callahan, West Central Georgia. 80 years old, a military intelligence in Korea, Army Security Agency, the Uniform Division of NSA. Mr. Jones, the question is this. Last night, Mr. Craig Hewlett was on George Norrie for the first 2 hours, and I left voicemails with Ms. Kristen Davies to get to you, to get to Mr. Ted Anderson, and to get to you, and to try to have you hear that broadcast before you went on the air today. Are you familiar with the name Mr. Craig Hewlett, sir?
Hewlett? No. How do you spell it?
I would suppose it's H-E-W-L-E-T-T. Mr. Jones, I am a radio listener from the 1930s. In fact, in 1930, when I was born, I'm sure the radio was playing, and I heard my first radio in 1930. And this is set at my father's feet during World War II, hearing all of the most famous newspeople in the world, sir. I'm having cards printed up that say these words: the most valuable man alive, Alex Jones. And then I'm going to give a way to hear you, which would be Penny Talk, telephone number, $1.80 for 3 hours any weekday.
Well, that's an awesome way to get the word out. But I mean, tell us, sir, specifically with your background, what your view is on this takeover.
Well, sir, Mr. Craig Hewlett said last night that what you fear so horribly is already exists, sir. That's what scared me to death. And
that's right. The grid is in place, but they haven't fully released it on us yet.
He says the one point. What a master is saying that the 1.45 quadrillion. In assets, or which are, as of now, counted as assets, located in the Cayman Islands. Sir, before you sleep, access stream...
Well, no, I will, and I'll try to call George Norrie about it, but specifically, it's on record that thousands of trillions have been stolen. Thousands of trillions, and it's 1.5 quadrillion is the conservative number. The Washington Post says 600 trillion. And yes, a lot of it is in the Cayman Islands. I mean, this is offshore banks that did this. But crystallizing what this fella said, what else did he say?
Mister, here's what shocked me to death. This man's about, he's a little, I think he's a generation after me. I'm a Korean era age, and he is Vietnam era age, and I think he was in the media because he was talking about, being with Sean Penn in Vietnam. But this man is extremely knowledgeable, sir. And I say of Mr. Webster Griffin Tarpley that there is no mind that is N-O, no mind superior to Mr. Webster Griffin Tarpley. And last night, the voice of Mr. Craig Hewlett.
Well, listen, that's amazing. Be sure and call me back in the next few days with more. We'll check into it. Mark and JC, you'll be our final callers on the other side of this quick break. PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com are the websites. Up at GCNLive.com, the Genesis Radio Network news site, GCNLive.com, The Year America Dissolved, that Paul Craig Roberts column. And also, Mike Adams, collecting rainwater, now illegal in many states as big government claims ownership over our water. This is siege. This is total domination. They're creating a slave system where we're owned by the government and the corrupt corporations that control it. Let's move quickly through calls. Roy, Mark, and JC, if I've got time. Roy in Georgia, you're on the air. We just talked to Roy. I apologize. Mark and then JC. Mark in Ohio, former military. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Hey, I just want to let you know, I spent 30 years of Action Reserve in the Army. Started out jumping out of airplanes with 11 Special Forces. I had a top secret security clearance for communication. And finished my career since about 97 making military policemen. if you're Army, National Guard, Reserve, Marine Corps Reserve, whatever, you came to us, become reclassified as a military policeman. And I used to get those of people, patriots or aficionados who go to eBay and those kind of stuff. Uncle Sam, the big brother, is watching eBay. I got a visit from two FBI agents, even though they knew I was a master sergeant in the Army Reserve, had a previous holder of a top secret security clearance. They wasted their time to come to see me and ask me why I was buying bulletproof vests. I said, I whooped out my ID. I said, are you guys dressed alike with your gray pants, your blue jackets, the same dark tie? I said, when we play Army, the Reserve and the National Guard do not have enough money like a normal active Army side. And we must, a lot of our instructors, we purchase our own equipment. We have friends that are being deployed and stuff. So I said, I got a question. So why are you asking me what I'm doing when you know who I am? I said, my name is not Ahmed. I have a security clearance. I said, half the administration there now couldn't pass a security clearance to be a military policeman.
You're the enemy. It's all targeted at you. We are the enemy because this is a criminal government.
Alex, it's absolutely insane. And the former police officer that I know that's with the State Highway Patrol, you know, the state of Ohio allowed 50 state patrolmen to go to the G20 summit in Pennsylvania.
I know. It's incredible. Mark, you got to call me back again. Key info. JC in Wyoming, last caller, Marines. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex, how you doing?
Good, buddy. Got a minute and a half.
Okay, well, first of all, I'm a former Marine. And do you remember the whole Jordan standoff with the free men up in Montana?
Yes.
Okay, well, I was in the Marines at the time, and they thought it was going to kind of go ugly, I think, because they came to my Marine unit, because we were very close by, and asked if we could assist them if things went south. And a lot of us in my unit had some problems with it. So,
and that's done everywhere, just to acclimate everyone.
Well, but some of us, especially the way we're raised in Montana, a lot of us are like, well, we got a problem with it. But what they tried to hit us with, and I think a lot of these young guys are getting hit with, Alex, is part of your oath, Oath Keepers keeps talking about, part of your oath is to defend the Constitution or to defend the country against enemies, both foreign and domestic.
But the Congress has got to do that, and we have posse comitatus because it's a danger to the nation. You just can't have police show up and say, come help us.
Exactly. See, this is what I'm trying to say. They're using that play on words, calling patriots domestic terrorists.
Yes.
Because that gets these younger kids thinking the domestic terrorist, and then they swore oath to defend the country against the enemies, foreign and domestic. So that's why the key play on words, domestic terrorists. I mean, I think instead of teaching the Constitution like they should be in the Bill of Rights, they're more using key points and play on words.
I agree. I'm out of time. Call me back again. But I would just add to this, the real domestic enemies are these foreign corporations setting up a world government and looting us through the Treasury. Webster Tarpley's coming up with key news, InfoWars.com.